Thank you for listening to Internet Boyfriends. Listening to Internet Boyfriends.
She's jealous, isn't she?
No, I don't think so.
To Internet Boyfriends.
We are really bad on staying on top. I fucking apologize to any listeners that think that we're organized in any fucking way.
And you're listening to Internet Boyfriends.
The Nazis are back, and they're flying over, about to bomb fucking Toronto, duck and cover.
Krampus!
Like, just fucking...
Yeah, like, I wish I had a better way of describing that so I didn't sound like a fucking racist. Like,
it's terrible!
I'm a big fan of pickles.
I'm telling you what I learned from television and Wikipedia.
She really likes how I say audio.
I know how the internet works.
Internet Boyfriends. Would you want to just jump into it, or do we gonna like work this up? Or
we'll say hello again.
Hello.
Again.
Again. We amuse the shit. There we go. You and I laughed in the first like fucking 10 seconds of the episode. We're done for this
success.
Fucking success. This is all downhill from here. So, hello and welcome to another episode of Internet Boyfriends, another Q&A episode of Internet Boyfriends. I'm Joey, and with me is the Mr. Fantastic to my Ben Grimm. You are Mr. You're my Mr. Fantastic.
And I have more gray hair than you.
No.
Oh,
I got
sure.
I have some gray hair now.
I do too.
It's fucking weird, yeah. Ah, Jesus. All right, so Ryan?
Yes, that's me.
That's you, and I'm Joey, and we're going to start off with a Q&A. And we've got a bunch of questions from Formspring, from leftover from last time. Obviously, it's not as diverse as last time because we tend to have a lot of Colin questions. Not that that's a bad thing, because Colin's got some fucking great questions,
yes.
And you'll be able to hear them. So you can think of this episode as brought to you by the refreshing taste of Sanquist. Ah, Sanquist.
Citrusy
deliciously. Yeah, I think every episode should be brought to you by the delicious taste of Sinquist.
Oh, he's going to hate it. It's awesome. Yeah. Definitely yeah. This batch, everything from now on will be brought to you by Sinquist.
Yes.
So yeah, unless otherwise noted, every question will be brought to you is a Colin question. We'll say otherwise, but if we don't say anything, it's Colin.
Yes, it's Colin. So that's very well. We need a tab popping on the soda can.
We do.
So it's like that. Taste of Sinquist. So, first question, do you want to do the first one or should I?
Oh, you can go.
Okay. First question from, of course, Colin. How in today's age do we not have the technology to de-ice the roads? De-ice the roads. Not de-rice, but de-ice the roads. And it's something that's near and dear to my heart because we've been getting fucking snowacost every other week here. I don't know. How have you guys been doing with snow up there?
Very little.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, we got a big woof of snow at the beginning of the year, but that's about it.
It's because you're teabagging us with that fucking
Canadian
air. Anyways, so
I was under the impression we did have technology to de-ice the roads. It's usually salt or some sort of grit substance. Although I heard because Quebec is way at the forefront of this snow removal technology. Like we're the go-to guys in North America.
Yeah.
Apparently, I think it was beet juice. Someone found it. Yeah, I know. I could be completely wrong, but there's a new anti-ice thing that's sort of going to make everything a little sticky, but in a biodegradable, safe way. And I think it's beet juice, and I think they're testing it on some little highway in like the Quebec interior somewhere. But I'm like, I'm very curious how it's going to go. So we might be getting like they're farming corn and stuff for ethanol, foolishly. Maybe
yes.
We'll start farming beets to de-ice the roads in Quebec and Ontario and up in snowy Winnipeg for Colin.
Sounds good to me. When you say sticky, like it's biodegradable but sticky.
Yes.
Like it's the first thing.
It is beets. Beets are very, very sugary and sugar gets sticky.
No. I'm thinking of like these beets and off into the road. Just like some like creepy old dude just like walking down the road like
gross.
Yeah. Don't worry about that. I'm sorry. I have a working too.
It may work, but you should do a study on that. Maybe it'll work fantastically.
Maybe it will. I need to do a study on that, but I'd probably freeze my balls off. I was actually going to say that we do have some technology, but I'm still waiting on a friend of mine is like my guru of design and wacky ideas. His name's Greg, and I live with him in college. Did you ever meet Greg? Okay. But for some reason, I thought you met Greg, and Greg is awesome, and he's fucking great. And he was talking about putting a current through, basically, you'd put copper's expensive now, so I guess you'd put something maybe less, a little less conductive.
Is he making like a rear window defrost for the roads?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Like that, yeah. Yeah, it was. It's not his idea. It was somebody else's idea, and he was telling me about it, or he was saying something about it. I don't remember what the fuck it was, but I remember hearing it, and I was like, that's fucking genius. But
I feel like it'd be incredibly expensive.
See, I don't know, because his... I don't know. I have no idea how. I know copper's expensive as shit, but I
know. Not to mention powering it.
But is it any less expensive than if you were doing it on a small scale, or maybe a big scale? I don't know where the economies of scale would click in for this, but if you had it set up so that you didn't need anybody to fucking shovel the roads, if you didn't need anybody to fucking throw ice down, if you just have, like, flip a switch, fucking everything melts, turn it off 10 minutes later, and it's fucking done.
In most places, it's not. Like, most places don't get enough snow to warrant that. Really, they don't. Like, Quebec does sometimes. I'm sure the Maritimes do sometimes. But most places, they don't go over their snow budget in a year.
Okay. All right. Wacky idea. I figured I'd mention it. So, second question?
Second question is, if you were to change your name, what would you change it to?
I don't know how to answer this one because I've dabbled in trying to change my name. And I don't like it anymore. I'm sticking with Joey, I think. What, did you have anything for this?
The first thing that popped in my head would be Tim, so that people could go, there are some who... I can't remember the quote now. The Monty of Holy Grail quote. So I could be Tim the Enchanter, basically, and I can't remember the quote, so fuck it. The joke is dead. Moving on.
No, that's all right. I like the idea that you're willing to change your name based on the fact that you could say, like, because it's a fucking... You know, like, it's a
Monty
fucking
Python
Monty
joke. Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot. So you want to just jump to the next question?
Yeah, or? Sure. If you guys open a bar... How would you get customers to flock to your establishment?
Us. I think we would be the manager. I don't know. I know it sounds fucking stupid, but I would imagine that we'd have a very old-timey, like, Cheers bar, you know, kind of smallish, dark place, and just kind of fucking hang out. Be very chill, kind of us. I'm a big noir fan.
Yeah.
So, like, that, like, everything would be black and white. The whole thing would be fucking gray.
Everyone has to wear glasses to make it all, like, monochrome when they come in, just so everything looks like it's a noir film.
Yeah, they throw delousing powder or, like, fucking sugar on you when you walk in the door, so everyone's kind of like that, like, washed-out whitish color, so...
Yeah, I'm good with that. Maybe also add some board games.
Yeah, all right. I like board games.
Me too.
Especially when you're... I would not play a lot of board games when I'm sober, but if I'm getting drunk, definitely, I would fucking play some motherfucking board games.
Chris and I went to a bar once and played cribbage for 4 or 5 hours.
What the fuck is cribbage?
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, what the hell's...
Okay, cribbage is a card/board game. The board is really just to keep track of your points, and you play... I can't describe what... You play, you get points for different things in your hand, and based... And what's flipped down, like, and you use your hand to make other points and move forward in the board. You've really never heard of cribbage?
To me, I would have guessed somewhere between bridge and cabbage.
Oh, yeah, okay, so this is... I can't explain it without going for a long time, so we'll...
Okay.
Wikipedia.
It's a game.
Wikipedia. It's a game involving cards and a pegboard, and I drank a lot. Shocking, I know.
Rightfully so.
Next question.
Next question, hardcover or softcover?
Depends how I'm feeling at the time. Softcover most of the time.
Yeah, I would say softcover too. Actually, you know what? No, fuck that. I'm going to go hardcover because now that I'm thinking about it, I have recently gotten the habit of actually using dust jackets the way you're supposed to.
As a bookmark?
Well, no. When you read a book, you're supposed to take the dust jacket off it and leave it on the shelf. And then, because the dust jacket is to protect from dust. If you're not using the book, it's supposed to protect the book.
Fuck it.
What?
I don't do that.
No, I understand that. I'm not like super anal about my books or anything. I have a lot of them and whatever, and I don't think that they're gonna like decay anytime soon. But I'm just saying that I would rather have a hardcover book. Unless it's like, with the exception of like Studs Terkel's The Good War, which is like 800 pages, you know, I would prefer to have a fucking hardcover. I would say
in general my favorite preference is softcover, but I won't like I'm caught up to Terry Pratchett's books now, so I'm not going to wait for the softcover. I'm going to get the hardcovers. If it's Gotham Central or the new Absolutes All-Star Superman, I got those in hardcover because they're big. And, like, especially the Superman, it's big and glorious, and I want it in, like...
Well,
if it's something I want in a big, well, like, edition, you know, then I want it in hardcover. Like, I have Absolute New Frontier, I have Absolute All-Star Superman.
But are we
the big Walking Dead and Invincible cover. But for books, it's less so because I don't, like... The big thing about hardcovers is they're often oversized, and it protects the art better and stuff, and I'm not as concerned with protecting the individual words or letters in the books.
That is so weird. We're completely fucking different. Because I would say softcover for comics, because that's how I prefer to read them.
I do for most... comics. Yeah. Like I will wait for the soft cover trade if it's like a 6-issue trade of a series or something. Yeah. But if it's something I'm going to want to read a lot and for a long time, like I have Walking Dead in hardcover.
Yes, all right.
But I have Air in softcover. I have The Goon in softcover.
How is
it? I've read the first one. It's okay. I want to read the rest of it to see how it goes. It's gorgeous.
Oh,
absolutely gorgeous.
Okay.
100 right. Bullets I have in softcover, but that's just because that's how I've had it so far. There's no hardcovers, really.
Okay.
So, yeah. Mostly softcover, right. Sometimes hardcover.
Okay.
Anonymous, okay. Assuming it's, since there's no call next to it. If you could have one weapon, what would it be?
Fucking no idea. Baseball bat, I guess.
I'll go with trebuchet.
Oh, you fucking asshole. Come on. I would have said Abrams. M1 Abrams. If I could really pick something that I want.
Oh, no, I know what I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick the Death Star.
Oh, why? Why you got to do that to me?
But the one with the shield. Not the one that can just, like...
Yeah.
Bombing.
Because I have a baseball bat. I don't need a I have one. That's what I figured. Next question. How many tattoos do you have? Is an IBF's tattoo coming in the next year or near future? Sorry. I can't fucking read.
I have no tattoos yet. I will definitely have some at some point. I won't get an internet boyfriend's tattoo for the near future for sure.
No?
Nope.
I was going to... Obviously, I also don't have any tattoos. Obviously, much like Ryan's answer, it's not that I don't want them. You know, it's just I don't have the money. It's not something... I don't have the disposable income where
you can get one at C2E2.
I could. That's a good point. I could. And I could probably get the cash by then.
A bunch of people from 11 O'Clock Comics. Three of the guys, the host, got tattoos at the con. A Bean World one, a Grendel one, and a slaffing Hitchhiker's Guide Planet.
No shit.
Yeah.
Huh. Because I was going to say, is an internet boyfriend's tattoo coming in the near future? And my answer was going to be, if you're fucking down, I'm fucking down. We could definitely go get matching internet boyfriend's tattoos, and I would definitely go for that. Especially considering if we could throw it out to our listeners to design a fucking cool, like something small, obviously.
I just want to make sure it lasts, like we're going longer than if we don't go another 3 or 4 months and then forget about it for a while.
But think about this shit. If you wake up in the morning and you look down on your chest and you see a fucking internet boyfriend tattoo there, you're going to be fucking every day, we got to fucking record something new. This, I got a fucking tattoo on my chest.
Oh, the tattoo is impetus. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
I'd rather get, like, I have a notepad of tattoo ideas. Currently, I've got something generic, Calvin Hobbes, something for Phonogram. I want to get a Rorschach test.
Really?
Yeah. Because I could go, what's this to people? And someone
everything's just a big joke to you, isn't it?
Well, no, because it would be fun. I think it'd be interesting to hear what people have to say. Like if I did an actual ink blot and said, here, tattoo this on. My concern with that one is that it would just look like a weird birthmark.
Yes.
Especially after a while, unless I got somehow like it looked like it was on a folded piece of paper or something. I don't know. I thought about it. Anyway.
I would say that to add on to yours with tattoos, that I know I want a Transmetropolitan tattoo.
Thought about that one too.
Definitely. I have wanted a Transmetro tattoo since the fucking minute I first read that.
Like what are you thinking? The three-eyed smiley face or?
No, I was thinking a spider. The three-eyed smiley. I mean, I have the fucking skateboard. I don't know. I know that I want a Transmetro. I know that same thing. I have that book somewhere around here, a notebook of me writing down like, hey, I want this tattoo. Because I think it was even you that fucking told me to do that. Where you said, if you want a tattoo, fucking write it down in a book and then look at it 5 years later. And if you still fucking want that tattoo, then you should go get that tattoo.
I've heard that advice before, so it's possible that was...
Yeah.
Unless we both heard it from the same person. Maybe Mandy.
Maybe. I don't know. But... I attribute most of that shit to you because you're like my fucking spirit animal when it comes to like, what do I do about this? And you're like, well, here's a reasonable answer. Thank you, spirit animal. So anyways, everyone has that one thing that they liked before it was famous. This is another question, by the way. It is impossible to mention that without sounding like an asshole snob. Temporary amnesty. What is the coolest thing you got in Arn Early?
Do you have an answer?
I do, but I wouldn't even say it's cool. I would say the movie Garden State. I saw that movie like fucking 3 times in the theater. I got all my friends to go see that movie. I thought it was a big deal because it's like from New Jersey and I wanted to go see it. And then it became like a huge thing. And now pretty much like anybody I ever talk to, they're like, oh man, fucking like that Garden State. Like everyone's got the DVD of Garden State where they're like, oh, this movie changed my life or whatever. And it's not really that good of a movie. It's all right. It's an all right movie.
Well, I love that movie. I saw it twice in theaters and I own it. I've seen it like 3 or 4 times since then. So
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't love the movie. I'm just saying it's not
really something that's like you liked before it was popular. You watched it the same time everyone else did.
Well, yeah, I guess
and it never became like a crazy cult hit, really.
I guess. I mean, well, I'm saying like, opening night, I was like, I was there. I guess. I don't know. It's hard to say with movies. And I'm assuming that the question refers to like music.
Well, music, TV, a comic book.
Yeah, but even with any of those, with the exception of, I guess maybe even with music, it's a problem too. Or not a problem, but it is an issue. You're never really getting in early with anything when it comes to a TV show, because it's on TV. You know,
well, no, but there's stuff like, there's like Terriers, which I watched from the day one, and people were like, it started to pick up steam towards the end, but no one really watched. Like, that's my answer is Terriers.
Gotcha.
Because there's other stuff that I might be able to talk about later on, but it's too soon to tell.
Okay.
I've been reading, like, there's comics I've been reading from the beginning that might have that sort of cachet sometime in the future, but I don't know. And there's TV that might become super crazy in the future, but I don't know. But Terriers is the thing that is first to mind. I watched it from the first episode, or second episode, so I heard Donald Logue was in it. And then it became this sort of, like, must save Terriers thing, and like everyone's like, oh, I'm like, I told you, I've been telling you from the beginning to watch Terriers, you fuckers. And Colin, he didn't ask that question. That was an
no,
question.
No. Colin didn't like
Terriers. Well, he didn't love Terriers.
I should say. I don't know. I guess I gotta fucking watch the show
you
now.
Do.
Like,
you really
fucking...
do.
I know. Maybe Flogging Molly. I don't know, because I know that I was a huge Dropkick fan, and then Flogging Molly came around, and like their first album I loved, and I don't know how to answer that question, because I don't.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at the Molly part of that.
What? Oh, yeah. Don't. That's another podcast, and maybe that might be the next podcast, because maybe that may be worth talking about. I don't know. Next question. You want to read this one?
Sure. Back to Colin again. My professor is currently rambling on about some nonsense I don't care about. Which one of you two would be the better teacher to replace him? You.
I see. I would say you. So this is pretty. It's pretty typical of us where we say one another. Why? Why me?
You've been to university. You've seen professors actually teach things properly. You're more. You actually have stuff you could teach that would be entertaining. I could entertain someone for an hour, conceivably. But like, I don't have any knowledge that I could teach a class aside from programming that could actually be. And that's not entertaining. You could teach sign language.
I think. No, I couldn't.
You could teach it poorly, but you could teach it.
Well, all right. So this might turn into a story, so I want you to stop me before it goes too long, or if it goes too long. Number one, I think that you could be a great programming teacher, because I obviously went to school for programming for quite some time, and I think that you could really make it interesting in a way that others couldn't because you're not a teacher. And lots of times that's the problem with programming, is that there are guys that just don't know what it's like to be a student and don't know what it's like to learn on your own. They don't understand that. They've always been in academia. They're just teachers, and they just regurgitate at what a book says, and that's it.
See, I never had that. I think university is more like that than the Quebec CEGEP system is, which is a topic for another day. But all of my teachers were people that had worked in the industry at some point at least. So they all knew and would like – they all had firsthand knowledge of it and weren't just like book smart.
Yeah. See, that's not my professors at all. My professors were definitely people that I don't think would survive the industry for about 5 seconds. That's why they were teachers. And I know that that's kind of harsh to say, but
those who can't do teach.
I don't believe that.
I'm saying it's a special. We were both very passionate about this.
Yeah.
I could talk forever about this, but yeah, no, that's the expression, and it's bullshit, but that's the expression. Well, it's somewhat bullshit.
It's certainly true for some of the professors I had. Specifically, one of the professors I had when I went to Montclair, first semester at Montclair, talking about being a professor, I really wanted to be a teacher's aide. I wanted to be a TA. I couldn't because I was undergrad, and I had to take the classes before anything else. So some of my credits didn't roll over from Rutgers and NGIT. So when I went to Montclair, I had to retake some classes, English being one of them. I don't know why. It's funny to me, and I'm glad I took it, met some people, and I learned more than I thought I would, but whatever. Anyways, I had to take a psychology class. So here I am going from 3 years of like really intense psychology classes and having to know everything. Like, I was taking higher level classes on perception and research methods and things like that. And then I go to take Psych 101. And when I took that class, it wasn't long until I was up in front of the room teaching alongside the professor. And I remember when I first, the first moment when it all kind of clicked for me, where I was like, like, you know what, I could probably fucking do this, was standing in front of the class telling them how to do relaxation exercises of you breathe in through the nose, you close your eyes, you breathe in through your nose, and you let the warm air wash over your body, and you breathe out through the mouth, and you breathe in through the nose, and you have your eyes closed, and you relax, and, you know, and like, and talking to the class. It was, yeah, exactly, yeah. It was, I don't know, it was just funny to me. I know that's truncating the story quite a bit, but that was the story. So maybe, I don't know. I think we would both be very good teachers, I think. Next question is from Colin, of course. Best appetizer ever is?
Deep fried macaroni and cheese.
See, I was actually going to go with mozzarella sticks. So I know we got
deep fried cheese. We're good either way.
Deep fried cheese is the best appetizer ever.
All right. Some people argue that is a waste to use high-quality alcohol in mixed drinks. Others say that using high-quality booze allows one to make a drink stronger and achieve better flavor. The mixer is merely providing an accent. Your take?
What do you think about that?
You shouldn't use any alcohol you wouldn't be comfortable drinking straight or on the rocks in your drinks, because it will just make it terrible. But I don't think you should use, like, super high-end whiskey or vodka or whatever for, maybe vodka, but super high-end whiskey especially for a mixed drink, because it's just so tasty on its own.
Yeah.
But don't use fucking, like, Tequila Bang Bang or... What's a shitty vodka?
Pop-off? Like,
yeah. Don't use, like, really shitty stuff. Use, like, get a nice... For making mixed drinks, use middle-of-the-road stuff. Like the mid-shelf. Not the $10 stuff, but the... So assuming $10, $20, $30, use the mid-range price stuff for your mixed drinks. It is a bit of a waste to use super premium stuff, because it's just... You're not going to get the nuance of the really high-end stuff. You're not going to get the deliciousness of the really high-end stuff if you're mixing it with all sorts of other things. And I'm not sure about... I mean, you could use more... For making the drink stronger, quote-unquote, you could use more of it in theory if it's higher-end, but I think you should use mid-range stuff for for cocktails, and high-quality stuff for either very simple cocktails that don't use a lot of other stuff, like a Manhattan or something, or a martini. But for something like a Sex on the Beach or a Long Island iced tea, something with lots of different things in it, use mid-range for sure. Leave the low-range stuff for the hobos.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If I've learned anything from my years of drinking, it's fucking buy the good stuff. I mean, if you've got the money to spend, especially to anybody in college, I know that it sounds stupid because...
Oh, it's
especially
way
when you're
cheaper to get drink on liquor than beer.
Yeah. That's what I was gonna say. Like, yeah, go out and get yourself a nice fucking bottle of booze that you like and fucking have fun. Enjoy what you fucking drink, because that was if I have any regrets about drinking in college, is that I drank fucking swill. Like, I drank shit.
Oh, you did.
I really did. Yeah. That is definitely a podcast in and of itself, of all the things I used to drink in school, but it's, don't do it. Just, especially, another thing too is never be afraid of your tolerance. Know it. Know your tolerance. Know what it is, and don't be ashamed of it. If you fucking take two drinks and you're fucking tipsy, cool. Awesome. In fact, you're my fucking hero. Because anybody who drinks a lot and they're just not fucking drunk, they're missing out, because they gotta pay out the ass at bars to get fucking drunk, and they probably hate themselves for it. But then they're gonna walk around and go, yeah, I'm fucking tough. I can drink 22 beers and I don't feel it. Well, yeah, but you gotta fucking pay for 22 beers and you don't feel it. So go fuck yourself. Like, it's, I would say, be proud of who you are, drink some good fucking booze and enjoy it. That's, I really don't have any time for low quality alcohol anymore. So. That's just me.
Next question.
If you could go anywhere in the world for a week, where would you go? What would you see?
I'll go with Austin for South by Southwest.
That's a really good fucking pick. I know now that I'm going to, now after you saying that, it's going to sound really fucking corny for me to say I was going to pick Montreal to go see you for a week.
Aww.
Well, it's true. Any answer I could come up with that question, Chicago, L.A., Montreal, or now Austin, because Panda's there.
The thing was, what would you see? I was like, I need to find something to do aside. Like, my first gut instinct was when he said, if you could go anywhere in the world, what would you do? Where would you go? My first gut was Chicago. And then I said, what would you see? I was like, okay, I need to come up with something, or something I would see. So that's why I went with Austin. Because I have always wanted to go to Austin.
Yeah. I've heard it's a great city. I've always wanted to go to Portland, but there's nobody there for me right now. I mean, that's the thing. Then that's to answer that question truthfully, in any circumstance, where I would go in the world would be down the block if all my friends were there. End of story. I don't to kind of, I know this should probably go up after the other one, so to kind of clarify on what I said last episode about, you know, my life as an adventure, my friends are my adventure. I don't give a shit. Like, they could be in a fucking dumpster, and I'd still have fucking fun with my friends. So, all you guys, you're wonderful. So, next question.
What is your home away from home?
I don't know. What do you got?
My first instinct was my parents' house, but that doesn't really count because that was my original home.
Yeah.
My second answer would probably be Burgundy Lion, which is a bar in Montreal.
good choice.
Or one of the Yield Orchards in Montreal, but probably a bar. I love bars that aren't meat market bars. I like bars where you can sit down and have a drink and hang out with your friends.
Yeah, you can actually fucking talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Hear music and shit. Yeah. I'm with you there. Now that I think about it, it might be a really fucking shitty choice, but I'd say Chicago. My home away from home is Chicago.
If I'm going to pick a city, it's Chicago for sure. Yeah, I love Chicago.
It's a very, I don't know, I wouldn't say it's a friendly town, because it's still a city.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
I guess.
I mean, like, it might just be because I'm so used to, like, living in a city where it's mixed languages, so you can, but you generally don't strike up a conversation with random people. But when we were in Chicago, we had random conversations with lots of really nice, friendly people all the fucking time.
Yeah, I would say Chicago, because even walking around in the middle of the night, I know it has its problems, but
of course,
I'm used to my home having lots of problems.
We went up for drinks one night off of at a place off of Michigan, and we had to walk under, like, people who know Chicago, part of North Michigan, people in Chicago, North Michigan, a part of it you can walk under it. And we were at the Purple Pig, which is right near the river, but like on the north side of the river. And our hotel was almost attached to the building, and we could theoretically walk through it if it was the doors were right, but we couldn't because they weren't. So we had to walk under the scary underpass of North Michigan, and our server was like, I don't know about that, because it was like 9 or 10 or something. And we're like, eh. And we did. It was fine. And we didn't feel – I know there was problems in Chicago. There's problems in lots of places in Chicago, but I never felt in danger, and I probably should have at some places from what I gather. Like, we were near Chinatown at one point. Apparently there's an area around there that's pretty dangerous, but we were fine every time. Anyway.
Sounds good. Yeah, that sounds like Chicago to me. Yeah. It seems a little bit more dangerous than it might be. Then again, it might be more dangerous than I think it is. I don't know. I like this question a lot, Colin.
Tough.
No, I knew exactly my fucking answer
for
when
you.
I saw this. Yeah. If you could buy only one comic for the rest of your life, but you got to choose the creative team on it, what book would it be and who would the creators be? Okay, now that I've read the question, I think I misunderstood it, because my mind went right to fucking Brian K. Vaughan writing, Becky Cloonan drawing, and Jimmy Palmiotti inking. But but that's not the question, because the question is an existing book, correct? It's something.
Well,
I have to pick.
You could pick one comic. You have to make up what that comic is that Vaughn, Cloonan, and Palmiotti are involved in.
Oh, Jesus! I can't even make up a comic for myself. How am I going to make up a comic for them? I don't know. I would say a cross between Transmetro and Sleeper. Because those are the two. If I had to choose one series to stay with, it would either, like, and if it had to be ongoing, like if I had a gun to the creators' heads, I would say either Sleeper or, like, Sleeper and Criminal, I think, are like any of the Ed Brubaker kind of noir criminal
with Phillips on
books
art
that he does. Yeah, well, see,
well, he did Criminal and a bunch of Sleeper.
Yeah, he did. I do love his work, but for some reason, to me, when I think of, like, definitive artists that I had to pick, I would pick Becky Cloonan, because I love her fucking art. I would say a crime journalism book, half crime, half Transmetro, and sci-fi thrown in. So,
I have not actually seen really any Becky Cloonan art.
You're missing out.
I know. If I had to choose. Let's see, writer would probably be Vaughn.
Really?
Vaughn or Jason Aaron. No, forget it. What am I saying? No, you know what I'm... No, this is bullshit. You know what I want? I want fucking Fear Agent with fucking Rick Remender and fucking Tony Moore for the rest of my life, every month. That's what I fucking want.
Okay. I
was like,
this
I was all like wishy-washy, like, oh, maybe. No.
Or, hey.
No, I want fucking Fear Agent. I want Remender. I want Tony Moore. That's what's happening.
Rick Remender is writing a video game. Will you be playing it?
Bulletstorm? Yes.
Okay. Just checking. I'm excited.
I don't know anything about it. Is it a first-person shooter? Because that splits me a little off.
It's a first-person shooter, yes. Yeah.
Tremendous.
Everybody at work hates it because it's so over the top. There's
that sounds perfect.
One of the characters refers to another character as Dick Tits. So it was something that like put everyone off real quick because it's way, way over the top for everyone's taste.
When you said Dick Tits, I was like, okay, I have to play it now.
Okay. Well,
you may have put your people off, and I'm like, okay, that's perfect. I need to play this game.
I thought the same. I will be picking up because it has a fucking beta for Gears 3, but I will be picking up because I love anything that Epic does and Rick Remender, and it fucking, yeah. Like I said, I will always hate Rick Remender, I think. Because of Frankencastle, but I will always love
it. It's so good. Forget it's Frankencastle, and pretend it's just an awesome monster story.
But I can't.
It's so good.
It doesn't matter because I loved Last Days. I said that was my favorite book in 2010. Yeah, well, you know what? I love Fear Agent. I love what Rick Remender does, and he's a great fucking writer. I just wish he wouldn't fucking fuck with something that I love.
Yeah, so, there's still Punisher Max. There's lots of other Punishers, and he's back to normal now. It was just a brief side trip to Monsterland.
All right. Okay.
And Rick Remender wrote him turning back to normal.
Okay, then I will give it a try.
Yes.
And I'll report back on how I like it.
Excellent.
All right. Okay. Another Colin question, as per usual. Not that there's anything wrong with that, Colin. If you had to get a piercing, where would you get it? This one's easy for me because I have piercings. So
probably I don't have any, but probably my ear, possibly the soul patch area of your face.
Oh, don't do that. No, 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 sir.
But probably ear.
Yeah. You get whacked in the fucking lip, and you're going to get that
true.
Fucking comes.
Let's stick with ear.
Yeah.
Upper ear.
I've got upper ear?
Yeah. Out of the way.
I got two in the lower ear, so. Okay. At a movie theater, which armrest is yours, Colin?
Both of them?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I think that you and I have everything. We're perfect internet boyfriends, except when we go see movies, because I think that we're fighting.
I try to like take the front of one and the back of the other, so like they can use the opposite. Like I usually just rest my elbows on, so like they have lots of room left, but my elbows need to go somewhere.
Yeah, all right. That would be fine. I think it would be totally okay. I think we'd work out really well. As per usual, we'd work out really well in that situation. I know I'm an armrest hog, and I'm sorry anybody has to go see movies with me, but I don't know what it is. Like, that's my normal relaxation. Like, if I'm sitting there watching a movie, fucking both armrests, and I try to do it where I just take up half, where I kind of have that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the elbow. They put the elbow on.
Yeah. Sorry. I keep taking these. How do you get the next one?
When flying, do you get an aisle seat or a window seat? Yes. Depends on the situation.
Window always. If that bitch is going down, I want to see it.
We flew a long time. On the way there, I got the window. On the way back, I got the middle seat.
I'm assuming we're talking about like a 747, which has the three in the middle and two on the outsides.
Yes.
Okay, because I would always be on the outsides, without a doubt. I do not want the inside seats for some reason. So
agreed.
Yeah, I prefer window, but I would take aisle as long as it's on the outside.
Where were we? Oh, in the Mile High Club.
Hold on. Give me a break. Give me a break and then read that again.
Sure. In the Mile High Club?
Oh, you son of a bitch. I'm not. What about you?
No.
I didn't think so. I know that of the two of us, you're the more sexually adventurous of the two, I think.
Okay.
So, I think so.
I've also flown more than you, but I can't remember the last time I went to the bathroom on a plane.
Yeah. Hey,
I would be going, if I was in the Mile High Club, I would be going to the bathroom, but.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
I haven't been in one in a long time.
I know that you can't offer it, but hey, Colin, if you can find anybody, I'm more than open. Let's do this. We can do a live podcast in the air. gotta offer.
Yeah.
What was the last thing that you bought? Question mark.
Nothing today. Nothing yesterday.
Really? Nothing today?
Nothing today. So Wednesday would be comic books. Wendy's. Okay, I bought stuff on Wednesday, which was I bought a mat for the front door, a Dremel with sandpaper for Ellie's nails, wire ties for a gate in the back we're going to set up, comic books, and Wendy's for lunch.
Very nice. I actually did buy something today, and I forget the title, but I know it's by Scotty Young.
Oh, I did buy something today. Go on.
Okay. Today,
his
I think
Bernard
it was,
thing?
I'm confused.
Was it his digital comic he released?
Yes. Yeah. I saw it on iFanboy, and I just said, fuck it, bought, sold, done.
Yeah, I bought that too. I'd already read everything.
Okay.
Because I was reading as he was releasing it online. He was releasing them online. No, on Comixology. He was putting it every couple of days on his website. So yeah, I also bought The Adventures of Bernard the World Destroyer in PDF form. I mainly got it so I could get all the backup pinup art that like Tom Fowler and Ramon Perez and Mike Norton did.
Gotcha.
And it's only $2. So if you're listening to this, go buy it. This one's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He's mostly doing covers in Wizard of Oz now, but so fucking good.
Cool. All right. What is the one word you would use to describe your internet boyfriend?
Smelly? I don't know. I really don't know. I'm terrible at this kind of shit.
Yeah, me too. Smelly? Go fuck yourself. I don't know. Jovial. I think jovial would be a good word to describe you. You are a very jovial person.
Thank you.
I experience a lot of joy when I get to interact with you. Oh. So I do.
I can't. I don't work in single words. What type of tea do you drink?
At least you didn't say shitbag. I got that going for me.
Oh, I know what you are. You're dick tits.
Dick tits. Awesome. What kind of tea do I drink? I drink Tazo Awake Black Tea Noir. I don't know. Somewhere in there, it's what it is. It's the Starbucks.
You had to get noir in there, didn't you?
No, that's actually what it's called. It's like it's a noir black is what they call it. Something like that. It's the Starbucks fucking tea.
So. I have a bunch of teas I picked up from Daggio a while ago when I got really into tea for a little bit. I really like, what was the one I liked? It was Yunnan Jig was my favorite one of the bunch of the unflavored black teas. Of the flavored teas, there was a nice blueberry black tea that they had. And way out there, they had a really good Ruibos, which is not actually, it's sort of tea, but it's not tea. It's called red tea. It's from some other plant entirely, but it's tasty. It's sort of like if terracotta pots were delicious and liquid. Is how I describe it.
That sounds surprisingly good. what do you think about it? Do you drink herbal tea?
I have no problem with herbal tea.
See, I fucking hate herbal tea. I want caffeine. Like, I need tea. Like, fucking tea leaves.
I don't need caffeine because I don't drink coffee or anything during the day, so it's...
Ah, you're so fucking weird. Maybe that's why I have so much anxiety, is because I drink all this fucking caffeine.
Well, I specifically did it because I knew I would need it all the time, so I was like, I specifically don't like the taste of coffee, and I don't want to acquire a taste for coffee, because then I would be drinking it by the gallon every day, so
yeah,
never started.
I when I was working at ShopRite, I drank a lot of fucking coffee, and I know that it was something where it was somewhere around that time where my dad also said that he hated drinking coffee every morning, so, because he was the same thing, where he acquired a taste for it, and he just drank it, and he loved it, and because it's just fucking caffeine, it's just like, hey, I need to get up in the morning, and let's fucking get this shit done. And he said he was switching to tea and tea only, and I said I'd do it with him. And since then, best thing he could have done for me, because I drink tea, and it's much. I know. Let's put it this way: I have not got the fucking coffee trots in some time drinking. It doesn't happen when I drink tea, so
it's definitely much better for you, and it's a much more mellow caffeine bump than the coffee is, from what I gather.
Yeah, and that's what I need. So. Yeah. When you went to high school, what crowd did you roll with?
I didn't really, my high school was so small, it wasn't like...
You rolled with everybody.
Sort of. Like, in grade, we had this, my school board had, well, not my school board, but there's this thing called leadership, and we were part of, like...
So Canadian. so Canadian.
We were part of, like, most of the people hang out with part of the leadership program, which was sort of like student council and mixed with... I don't fucking know how to describe this, but it was sort of a cross. Like, I had friends that were into sports. I had friends like, I'm definitely a geek more than anything. Yeah. I was friends with more just sort of the average. I'm a pretty friendly, easy to get along with guy. So like, I got along with most people. The people I got with the least were the sports people because I had the least to talk to about with them. But
so how about them football?
Exactly. How about that local sports team? How did we are that Montreal basketball team? How are they? Oh, we don't have one. Fuck. Our football team's very good. It is. I know that much. But we had my graduating class was 80 people. Our school had 500, so there wasn't major cliques of stuff. Like, it wasn't it wasn't like Freaks and Geeks or anything.
I think it's maybe a big difference in Americans and Canadians, because it was definitely if I had to pick a crowd that I rolled with, I think it's easily defined as the web design club.
That did not exist when I was in high school.
Yeah, we were on the tail end of. Or the beginning
front end, yeah.
of the front end of the web design and all the rest of that kind of stuff, where like we wanted to do more stuff like that, and it was an excuse to just have, I don't know, a bunch of us fucking stay after school and play Unreal Tournament on school computers. But yeah, it was that was my group. Now I look at it and I'm just like, that was so fucking stupid that I even gave a shit to stick with one group. But I'm glad I did, because I most of my friends from high school, I think. I would talk to now if I don't already talk to them, like Justin and Matt. I talked to both Justin and Matt today, but I would say that anybody else, like Mike Cole or Tony Dini or a lot of the guys from high school, if they called me up today and they're like, hey, you want to go out for a beer, I was like, fucking why not. Pretty much if anybody ever calls me up and says like, hey, you want to go somewhere, fucking let's do it. Yeah. Next question.
Have you ever made a mixtape for a girl or for anyone? This is from Comic Book Chris on Twitter, aka yes. Chris Powers in real life.
This is a great name, Chris Powers.
It is. I didn't. I never have, so my answer is no.
Okay. Now that you say Chris Powers, maybe I would... changing the name question, maybe I could go back and change my last name to something different. That would be... I'd keep Joey, but
would
then
you change
your name
to John Castle?
No, never. No, that was so stupid. That's the idiocy of youth. No, I think that if we're really gonna pick changing names due to jokes, I would fucking pick Scorpio, because I love that episode of The Simpsons that much.
Oh, that's a fantastic
Scorpio,
episode.
Especially because then I could use the fucking song. God damn it, that fucking song is the best.
So, have you ever made a mixtape?
Yes, I have. I've made lots of mixtapes for lots of people, including women. My magnum opus was going off the deep end for a girl. And actually making her a CD case and like 10 CDs worth of music. And it wasn't a mixtape so much as it was a mixed compilation. It was actual albums that I loved. Mm-hmm. And then I just gave her those like 10 or 12 albums and just said, here, these are all awesome. There's your mixtape right there. Take one song off each and that's a mixtape, because they're all fucking great. So, because I love music and I don't play music, so pretty much mixtapes have been my way of, you know, communicating through music.
So the last question, do you know about the time I almost screwed up the Juno Awards from Colin? I knew a little bit because I asked about this after he posted it on Former Spring.
What are the Juno Awards?
They're the Canadian Grammys.
Okay, all right.
So what I think we should probably do,
yes,
is have a story time episode at some point. Talk about massive fuck-ups, and we'll get.
Oh,
we'll
I got one of those.
And we'll try to get Colin on.
Actually, I really.
I think what we should do is wait for Colin so he can be on.
Yes,
and he'll tell us the story.
The reason I put this question last was because I specifically wanted to throw the gauntlet down and say to Colin, next time we record this, sometime next month, so sometime in February, Colin, when you are free, drop us a line. I think you know how to get a hold of us, and figure out what some sort of time, and we'll do a fucking another Q&A episode with Colin as the quizmaster, Colin, for the whole episode, asking the questions and dropping some hot beats. Do we just answer the questions and he just asks the questions?
We'll talk to Colin and figure it out, but we should also have one so we can tell us the story about the Juno Awards, because I want to know. We'll try to solicit more questions and get Colin in to answer them also. I don't know. I'll answer significantly fewer so we can answer a bunch too. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah. Yeah. But if anybody has any ideas, feel free to include them in with your questions.
Yes.
We'll be asking for more questions.
Yeah, so definitely ask for more questions at formspring.me/internetbfs. We'll post that link on Twitter at some point.
We will post the shit out of that link.
Or just ask us at Gobo or Mr. Balls on Twitter.
Yes. And of course,
and that's who we are.
Yeah.
And this has been Internet Boyfriends.
Thanks for listening.
Take care.
See you next week.
Bye.